This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. This is our feature review for Pet Sematary.
That is correct. My name is Paul. That is Wayne.
Word.
Welcome along to this week's feature review. And, of course, Pet Sematary is a remake of the 1989, I want to say, because I haven't done my fucking research.
FYI?
Yes, I'm quite correct.
I've seen that.
Ooh.
I saw it in the drive-ins. That's how old I am.
That's where I saw it too. Also in the drive-ins. That is quite the coincidence. I wonder if we saw it together. Just the two of us, hand in hand.
Could have fucking happened. It could have happened.
Anyway, Pet Sematary is a 2019 remake, and it is directed by Kevin Koch and Dennis Widmeyer, the directors of a little horror film called Starry Nights, which got a lot of critical acclaim.
The screenplay
this time around is by... I haven't seen it.
Okay.
It sounded boring.
Oh my God.
Screenplay by Jeff Bueller is... It is comes, of course, from the Stephen King classic 1983 horror novel of the same name. It's 101 minutes long. The budget was $21 million. It is reportedly headed towards a $23 million opening weekend in the States alone. So this film will end up being a success.
Really?
I know what Wayne thinks of this film, and I'll relate why I know when we get into it. But Wayne, what is the film about?
You see, folks, Pet Sematary is about the Creed family, played by Jason Clarke and three other people. They move into this new country house of theirs.
You should say that, don't I? It is played Amy Simetz and John Lithgow lives across the road.
Of course. Now, they move into this new country house where they plan to raise the kids Ellie and infant son Gage, who is played by two twins.
Yeah, as is often the case.
Yep. Now, while exploring the grounds of their new country house, that little girl Ellie, she discovers a pet cemetery, but is warned away from exploring further by John Lithgow. The land behind the cemetery, however, has a terrible power, like the ability to resurrect any body buried in it, although they never come back the same. Jason Clarke discovers this when he buries their cat, which comes back as a damn zombie cat, or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jason Clarke then makes a series of very bad decisions, leading to a bunch of bad shit going down.
Yeah. Paul? Sometimes, dead is better.
Oh, yes.
That is the film. Wayne. We all know now, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know how much Wayne hates horror films. If you are a new listener to the show, welcome. It's great to have you on board.
You're about
to find out just how much Wayne hates horror films. Wayne, what did you think of the remake of Pet Sematary? With thanks to Natalie Cameron for the invite to the advanced screening, which we saw in a packed theatre to a, I think, largely appreciative crowd.
Yes, I would agree they were largely appreciative.
Largely. There were some detractors.
Yeah.
Including the man to my left.
Well, now, I'm not going to apologize for not liking horror movies anymore. If the best you'll get from me with horror movies is like, look, I didn't enjoy my time there, but it definitely is a good movie, like I said, with fucking that one with the head beheadings.
The beheadings one. Hereditary.
Hereditary, right. But this one, having said that, is, I feel like a really big trick or card this movie has to play is its hopes you've seen the first one, the original. Because of all that, they turn each scene on their head. Yeah. Now, those may be scenes from the book.
We will save the spoilers for what they do change.
But like you're, as a guy who saw it before, like really young, I was like, oh, this is the bit where, oh, okay. So they, you know,
there's some good knowing nods, some good changes.
Definitely. And I think there are some broad scale changes about this. And I think that's the best thing about the movie is that it leaves you in a different place, which is very important, I think, for a remake. All right. So that is actually really good. Having said that,
preparing myself.
I didn't buy this at all. Like, the performances with the intermittent scenes between all the action bits from the book or movie, I assume. Like, when certain characters inevitably buy the farm, Jason Clarke, or the reaction from those people is just like, so is not particularly convincing. It's like a single tear or something like that. And that, as a result, does not make me believe that his next step would be the next step that he made.
Really?
Because he wasn't upset enough. He wasn't upset enough to go and do the thing that he was going to do.
Okay, so you're familiar with the five stages of grief, Wayne.
Oh, yeah?
The model.
Yes.
Number one is shock.
Yeah, but that's a very long shock period this Kraken went through.
No, not really.
Well, that was like the next day or 2 days or some shit.
Exactly. That's pretty normal to be numb and disconnected. But beyond that, he also knows when the inevitable death does occur, he knows that there is an option for him as well. So he's not giving in to his grief because he's not saying goodbye.
But it just didn't seem at all like...
I had no problem with that part of the film.
Now, okay, this is probably a good insight here. I, a man who has no children. You, a man who has a daughter.
Sure.
You may take that course of action in his place. Do you understand it? No, right?
Look.
I know it's a horror movie.
It's very hard to put yourself in
movie.
The headspace
yeah, of
a character
of course,
who learns the ground, the sour ground behind his
home. Yeah.
will bring back anything that you bury in it.
Yeah.
And even if you subsequently learn that what you bury in it won't come back the same.
Yeah.
So this is not like Shelley Long in Hello Again.
Well, that was obscure.
Deep fucking cut right there. Not at all. This is, they're not coming out of the grave looking beautiful in their dresses and whatever else and their tuxedos and the like and suits. They are coming out wrong. And if you knew that, I thought to think logically that I would go, well, it's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it. Okay, so look, given that conceit, because it's a horror film, obviously if he doesn't do that, there's no film.
Yeah, there is no film.
Okay. The other issue with it was that these characters, like for instance, John Lithgow, I've already told you he buried his cat, so he tried to get the cat to come back. That was at
Lewis.
Sorry, Jason Clark buried his cat, and that's how he came back like a zombie cat. And he was doing that at the direction of John Lithgow, who had once done this with his own pet, and just like the cat, the dog came back fucked up.
Okay, and again, I can address this.
Yes. Oh, can
and then,
you?
And then I should you're sort of dancing around, you're bearing the lead here a bit, Wayne. Would you like to tell the listeners, did you like this film or not?
Oh, no, I didn't like it.
Right, thank you.
It was crap.
I thought the film... The reason I know this is that Wayne, at the end of the film, when there was some spontaneous applause,
yeah, people
some
clapped.
Of the audience members around us said, oh, shut up, it wasn't that good at all. May have even been the word fuck in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And I cringed a little bit going...
I'm sorry about that, Paul. But I didn't buy the clapping. I thought this was a bunch of... This was actually an art house release. It was in a different cinema. It was in a...
Not an art house release. Sorry, it was in an art house cinema.
Yeah, it was in an art house cinema, and it was an oddly... I actually felt that the crowd was one part geek, one part thinks I'm awesome. Like
geeks are awesome?
Yeah.
Don't disparage people.
The good kind, yeah. This is not the good kind, right?
For me, you're somewhere between a cockroach and that white stuff that accumulates at the corner of your mouth.
It's when fine, you're really motherfucker. It's fine. It's all good. But yeah, I don't know. I find this like, sorry, you've pushed in there. The John Lithgow thing.
Yeah, I do. So you don't like this film. The John Lithgow thing. You're right. You're going to say, why does he take Lewis and show him this ground knowing that things come back bad?
Exactly. His exact words were, I thought it'd be different with your cat. Why, that's John?
Tell me why.
Not
John. His name's not John.
Why, Lithgow? Why, Harry and the Hendersons?
Because he really formed a bond with Ellie.
And wanted her to be on
Lewis.
That is not a good enough excuse. That is not a good enough reason to write in like
that. It's been somewhere in the order of 60 years since. Now, I'm not saying it's good logic.
No.
I'm not at all.
No, I don't give that a pass at all, man.
But
the film makes
an effort to address it, and I think the film does enough to make that okay.
It does not. When he's explaining that, he's like, I thought it'd be different with you. And you're like, why? And I said, why? So fuck off.
Yeah, I do agree that it wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
I'll acknowledge that.
Those things, as we've said many times, you've said, I believe, once you establish a premise within a horror, you have to stick by that premise. Now, this establishes a shitty premise.
I've read the book.
Right, tell me about the book.
We've seen the Mary Lambert 89 adaptation of it, and now here we are in 2019, 30 years later, which I want to say, I think it's about the right amount of time. If you're going to remake something, 30 years feels like a respectful
amount
of time.
Agree, completely. So I don't oppose the remaking of this movie.
I'm just sort of saying. Yeah. I thought the film was fine, by the way, sort of bury that lead too.
Please go ahead.
It's not brilliant. It's not groundbreaking. It's nothing like Hereditary. It's nothing like A Quiet Place last year. This is not a film you need to rush out and see, but if you're a horror fan, or you're down for some scares, and you want to have your significant other curl into you a little bit. Yeah, there are some scares in the film. Most of the jump scares aren't great. A couple of them are all right. And I think that basically it tries to shoehorn in too much while still being really slow the first hour.
That's really what it was, because I was really very slow. Bored. Sorry, I should have led with that. This is boring.
If you get through the first half of the film, the second half is exponentially better. And as Wayne alluded at the start, they do, if you're familiar with this story, you're familiar with the King novel or the Lambert film, they do play with those expectations very effectively, unless you've seen the trailer.
Oh, really?
Once again.
I didn't see the trailer.
Once again, and I'm just going to keep it clear until the spoiler section, which is coming very soon. The company which produced this trailer, which the studio allowed, spoils one of the biggest changes to the film.
Really?
It is.
I never saw the trailer.
Ghastly.
By the way, my life is better now.
What would have been a really impactful moment, holy shit, I didn't see that coming, ends up being like, yep. Saw that in the trailer.
That means I probably had that moment. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to hear what it was.
There's a couple other bits which are very well sort of telegraphed from the previous film, which they throw at you and then sort of curveball in, which is nice as well.
Yes, I would
and
agree.
The film ends very differently, but we'll of course talk about that.
Yes,
in spoilers.
That is the best thing about this thing, right? Just one more thing. Mm-hmm. I am really not a fan of scares where it's truck horns or trucks just swanning into the frame without any like noise.
Yeah, anything rattling.
Yeah, for some reason, no one hears the truck coming, yeah. But it blares when it turns up. Now, I hate that. There's like three of those in here. So that's a problem I had. Anyway, let's get on to the spoilers.
I'd agree. I'd say also, though, technically, can we talk a little bit about, I think it's a well-made film. I think it's very competently, it's shot well in terms of some of the overhead shots. The lighting's very good. I think the actual where the pet cemetery is and the deadfall and leading up to it, it's, you know, the whole nighttime mishrouded.
It's better than the original.
Oh, yeah. It looks much, much better. Obviously, CG helps a lot.
In my head, the original is Harry Hamlin. Is it him?
No.
No, it's someone else, isn't it?
No, it's some other dude.
Just
I know,
white man, though.
And it was Fred Gwynne from The Munsters.
That
John
I remember.
John Lithgow's character.
And that was a great replacement, I reckon.
Yeah, look, arguably, John Lithgow's fine in this movie. And there's also, I should mention, a couple of weird comedic moments in the film, which I know comedy's in there to break the tension, but there's one meta joke about John Lithgow in this film.
Is there?
Which completely threw me out of the film, like, that's too far.
Can you say it?
Well, I can spoil. So why don't I hit the spoiler button and then we'll get into it. So for Wayne, it's definitely not a recommend. For me, it's a qualified recommend.
Is it?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Really? Recommend is high, you know. Recommend can't just be okay. It's going to be like good.
It's recommend if you're into films like I am. And the fact that you have no insight into that is
inconceivable.
Or is it? All right, Cracker. Go ahead. Spush out the spoilers.
Spoiler. All right, now we can speak freely. You are here if you've seen the film or if you have zero interest / don't care.
Don't care.
Yeah, Firstly, the thing that was spoiled in the trailer was it's Ellie who dies. And
my God, it tells you that?
Not Gage.
That was a huge thing for me.
Absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Oh, the boy's going in there. And it misses him. Oh, shit, they're doing this. Yep. Kaboom. And that was huge.
Which sets up a much better final act because Ellie's old enough to speak.
Yeah.
And we established the dead can speak at the very end of the novel and the end of the first film when the wife comes back and she says, darling, as she puts her hand on Lewis's shoulder. And that's how both the movie end from memory and definitely the novel end.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you don't know what's going to happen, but it heavily implies that now Lewis is going to die.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought that the original movie ended when he did the needle in the kid's, you know, neck or whatever, and he actually finally killed the boy.
No.
Oh, man. I forgot. I must have put my head down or some
shit. Now I'm going to check it out because I'm almost...
No, you're probably right. You're probably right.
No. I'm not having to go at you. I'm legitimately like, oh, shit, really? Have I got that one wrong?
No, I'm entirely sure almost that you have that right because I would have probably just gone,
and that night, the horribly mutilated Rachel returns to Lewis and the couple embrace. Rachel takes a large knife from the counter as Lewis screams. That's how the movie ends.
Oh, does it?
The original
movie.
That's
pretty edgy for a 1989 joint.
Wow. Well, the 80s were pretty edgy in many, many ways.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Let's be honest. Yeah, Fred Gwynne's character and John Lithgow's character in this one, Judd Crandall.
Mm.
So in the original, he gets the very famous...
The
slicing of the Achilles.
Yeah.
They play on that.
They play on it, but then when it happens in this
movie,
it's
even worse.
Way worse,
yeah,
man.
It's pretty cool.
Shing is like fucking chop, stab, 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 hack, hack, hack.
And that's what's cool about this one. In this film, Ellie can talk.
Yes.
And so you're getting more of an insight
very
into
good point. Very good point.
The dead. And okay, so they're dead, they've come back. And not that you know their machinations and what their plan is, but clearly she's more evil than this little kid who's running around going, which is all the Gage really does in the books and whatever else and says some few baby words because he is like two or whatever he is.
Good God. That's where Chucky came from, right?
There's some similarities.
Yeah, a little bit.
Chucky was before
Pet
Sematary.
Okay.
Yep. So I like that. And I thought Ellie, the kid who plays her, is excellent.
Little girl, great.
Jette
really
Lawrence
great.
Or Jette, I can't know.
Yeah.
Is fantastic. And she goes from being just a normal little girl to being this monster.
And I buy it.
And it's fantastic. So she's the best thing about the film.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree.
Really dug that part. What didn't work for me in the film, and I think this was in the novel but not in the original film, is they throw in a whole bunch of, yes, it's Native American land and the like, but then they kind of throw in this hint at the Wendigo.
Yes. I remember that this actually was not denoted as a Native American thing, and a lot of people were happy about that.
Well, the Wendigo, whether it is or isn't a Native American folklore, I think it is.
Is it? Okay, maybe it is.
I think it is. Well, but the point is, it's not in anything before this. I kind of just throw this creature that might be out there that explains why the ground is sour.
I didn't pick that up. It must have been throwaway.
Yeah, they mentioned a couple of times. Goes nowhere, means nothing. There's a point where he sees something moving out in the trees.
I thought that was just him, I don't know, his eyes are playing tricks.
It does nothing. It's completely unnecessary. And then the famous other subplot of the film is his wife, Rachel's little sister, died of whatever horrible muscular sort of dystrophy, whatever thing. Yeah. And she has a small hand in her death. And the poor girl was going to die anyway. And she's terrified of death and the like. And that's all okay. But the scares, it almost becomes like a haunted house thing. And it makes no sense why.
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with sour ground and your sister being there, but yet somehow she's haunted? Is that... It doesn't work.
I'm kind of amazed that the parents kept the house. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. She's like, oh, there's the dumb waiter where my fucking sister died. And
she goes back there. That's
why
right.
Why she just not go back to that house? I don't know.
You would think that you would move out. Anyway,
you might.
Or if maybe they don't have the means, but surely 30 years later or whatever it is.
They could have if they wanted to.
25 years later.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
so I didn't mind. I like the way it ends. It ends with all the characters dying.
To me... That ending, this current ending, is definitely better than the other ending, even though I didn't remember it. The whole idea, because when Jason Clarke gets stabbed by the now reanimated wife,
yep.
And then he becomes a bad guy, and then we're like, oh shit, what about that kid in the car? There's no way they're going to, oh shit, they are.
Because the start of the film is, you see the blood around the window and the smashed car window. So that starts, it's one of those films where it starts cold opening with, like you can see the after effects, and then it shows you how we got there, in effect. So... Once Gage was put in the car, he's dead too.
Well, that's the thing, and then I think it ends with a quick, quick with a fucking yep. The car opening, and I'm like, holy shit, that's cold because they're actually going to take out that kid.
Yep,
which is better than the first one. And that's like I said, the two big jump scare or the big scares or big differences is the girl dying, and then at the end they actually everyone the bad guy wins kind of.
Well, the evil wins in all cases.
Yeah, you're right.
It would have been nice to have a stronger sense of what the evil therefore wants. Are we just going to
recontaminate
the entire world or reanimate the entire world? Is this...
Man, anything that's important needs to have meaning, for real. Like whether it's a brand or a this or a job or whatever. Right? So and same with movies. You need that meaning. So yeah.
For me, though, the biggest problem is how slow the first half is.
Mm.
It's redeemed / rectified / resurrected by the second half, but it's... Too little, too late to be a great film. It's okay. I think all the performances are decent to really good in the case of the kid.
Yeah.
Of the little girl. And that's why I recommend it if you're a horror film fan. In if you're not, well, you're probably not going to see this film anyway.
No, I certainly wasn't. So.
Yeah. Wayne never jumped once. I must say that was a little disappointing.
It's not a jumpy. Well, I don't know if I've learned now to deal with you and your people. But like I'm sitting there going, oh, we know it's here and it's not going to be that much.
My people.
Yeah, you're horror aficionados. I've seen you. And so...
All right.
Yeah, so it wasn't... I don't know, maybe I'm learning to deal with it better, but it wasn't that jumpy. So, I don't know. Who knows?
All right, Wayne, let's do it then. Let's give this film a score. What do you give it out of 100?
It's a 32. Oh,
fuck 32. Off.
That's fine. 32 is good, man. What was the last one? I gave a 7 recently, didn't I?
Eat all the S's, man.
Look, it's boring. I didn't buy it. It's not my
official.
Dad.
It is official for 2019.
I'm not Negatron, bitch. Oh, suck my dick. You know what? You put a brother in a damn horror movie, shit don't go south. All right? That's just that. That's how it is.
I'm going to recut this with you, your voice. You are the most Negatron that's ever Negatron.
I would fuck off. First of all, I would never say that shit, so I don't even know how you're going to do that.
32!
32, yeah. It
I'm just like trying to get my head around what films you thought were that much better
you
than
know
this.
There's no scale here, Wen. You've been here before.
What? Can't even get words out now. It's brilliant.
Everything, man. But 32 is like pretty good for this.
What actually Pet Sematary is a 60.
Suck my dick, man. It's not even 60 at all. It's barely a 50.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
Oh, shit.
32 to Wayne, 60 to me. That's an official fail from
this
the countdown.
This is not a movie. This is not a movie you should go out and see, man.
If you combine our scores and
even
divide.
Even if you dig this shit, I think, you
by
know.
By two.
All of your arguments are like my asshole, man.
Yes, Wayne. All of your arguments are like my asshole.
I don't know. If you like shit like this, there's a string of scene-to-scene fights after the boring first half that might entertain you. But
exactly.
But you got to get through the first. It's not a good movie.
We took two guests, a guest each, and the friend I took, he said he was very tense through the whole film. He'd never seen the original film. He hadn't read the novel, so he said he found it very tense. But really? I think your guest.
But he digs it, yeah.
Yeah, he's into horror films.
Yeah, okay.
I think your guest not so much. Although she jumped up a million miles at the first scare of the film. That was hilarious.
Oh no, this is hilarious. Chris is my ex-boss, right? And she has been known to like horror movies, but I didn't know that she did this. Because she was like, every little scare, she's like, ah! And she like fucking lost her popcorn.
Popcorn
went everywhere. And then every night, and then I look over halfway through the movie and she's looking down. I'm like, what are you doing?
So it did affect her. There you go.
I said, but fucking hell, man. If she jumps and I don't, that means that I'm the biggest bitch in the world, okay? So this is now a disorder that's going on. And I said, what are you doing? She says, I don't want to jump and embarrass you again. Like, so you're not going to watch the movie? She says, I'm just going to kind of watch to the side of the movie. I've never seen that tactic before.
There you go. I believe that's worth way more than a 32.
No way!
That's our review of Pet Sematary. Check it out at your own risk. And do let us know. Let us know who got it right, who got it wrong. Is Wayne completely batshit insane, as per usual? Is Negatron has taken over his soul?
What's going to happen to you is people who like horrors are going to see it because they like horrors.
Yeah.
People who don't like horrors, i.e. me, won't see it. So you're only going to get, fuck you, Wayne, votes. I know your little game, Prizula.
Correct. I see no problem with this at all. All right, thanks so much for joining us again. Of course, my name is Paul. He's Wayne. Hit us up with your responses at countdownpodcast@gmail.com in terms of an email at countdownpc on Twitter and in our Facebook listening community. The link is in the show notes. We'll be back on Tuesday with our next main episode review. Thanks so much for joining us.
Booyakasha. My name is Wayne.
And I already said that part, but my name is Paul. Catch you next time.
See you guys.
Oh, wait. The soundboard. Fuck.
Fuck the soundboard.
Eat my ass. Suck it, suck it, suck it, suck it. Man.